Fios is not cable. We're wired differently, which means you can get the fastest internet available with equal upload and download speeds from 50 to 500 megs. So you can upload 200 photos before your favorite song is finished. Click the ad and switch to Fios today to get our best offer ever.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening tonight, everybody, and welcome to Students for a Better Future Radio, reporting from Occupied America. I'm your host, Doreen Finkel, with Luther Mays and Ruben Torres, and we are live. Once again, welcome to tonight's radio show for Students for a Better Future Radio, reporting live from Occupied America. And folks, tonight we have lots to say. Our show is actually on cyber sex trafficking and its connection to pornography. But before we get to that, I want to mention that the show is sponsored by the 501c3 nonprofit, studentsforbetterfuture.com. And if you can go ahead and make a contribution at that website, that would be awesome. And we have a couple announcements to make from there. First, I want to have everybody check it out on the website. We are offering internships, and we have sponsors for them. And they're in social media, computer programming, and also I believe it's essay writing and an essay contest coming up. So if you can go over there and check it out, that's studentsforbetterfuture.com. Again, that's studentsforbetterfuture.com, and see what we can do. And I want to mention we have a new host coming with us. His name is Luther Mays. Want to say hi?
Hi to America. How's everybody doing?
Before we get into the tonight's topic, I want to bring up the debate last week between Trump and Clinton, and I want to give basically Trump some suggestions. Number one is he was asked a question about the birther issue. What he needs to do is learn to turn around that question and throw it right back at the moderator and, give a little pushback. It doesn't hurt to do that. And that question he should have answered, he should have said something, well, that was the last presidential race. So, and, you know, he should have said to the moderator, let's move on and let's discuss something relevant. But that's my personal analysis of the debate last week, and I know Ruben, you wanted to weigh on this. Go ahead.
Oh, definitely. One of the things that really disappointed me about Donald was when Hillary brought up the situation with how to create jobs. How are you going to create jobs, Hillary? And she said, "Well, let's put more solar panels." Donald Trump should have came back and said, oh, how about those $10 billion that are in 10 companies that went bankrupt during Obama's administration that you were part of it? And that way she would shut up because that will not work. That was number one. Number two, when she would talk about, the money for, for the rich, well, how about all that money that you're getting from Wall Street, that you're getting from Silicon Valley, from Google? How about all that money? Isn't that influencing your who are you really truly going to be working for? And then the whole thing about race in America. Okay, for 50 years, the Democratic Party has controlled inner city USA. And they have not done anything. You know, you want to talk about that Donald Trump and the Republican Party is against African Americans and Hispanics? Are you kidding me?
Right. So, and go ahead, Luther. Did you want to weigh in?
Well, they just these two parties are liberals and rhinos now.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, and we have to get the American people to see that and to vote sensible people in there. And granted, you know, Trump is not a good debater. He came from the business field.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes,
you know, that's his background. And, you know, and he's got to learn. See, what he's doing is he's talking like he would speak at your kitchen table. And, you know, and he's going into a debate. You have to be prepared. And you have to have top people working with you that can teach you how to answer the questions, particularly in today's time, because most of the moderators, they're all liberal. You know, they're going to shoot,
right,
come after him left and right. So they're going to grill him.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah, so anyhow, Luther. Luther is actually going to be getting his own show. And so we're going to be moving on to tonight's topic, which is cyber sex trafficking. It's actually the extension of human trafficking and how we got to this phase in America where this thing has exploded in front of our faces. And we're going to point out there are certain things that we can do to help stop this. But I want to give Luther a chance. Go ahead, Luther. You want to ask the questions?
Well, let's talk about the Amanda Winikowski case.
Okay, yes. Amanda Winikowski, she was actually a student that was working with us at a Buffalo Community College. And very interesting case. And also very beautiful girl. Just Google her name on the internet, and you'll find, you know, you'll find her picture and all that. But anyhow, she was attending Buffalo Community College up there, and she was about, I remember, about 19 at the time. And you know, and bear in mind, you know, she's attending this community college. And she had met a fellow by the name of Adam Patterson. She had met him online through a chat room. And they started seeing each other going out. And, you know, the mother just thought it was like a normal boyfriend for a while. And, you know, until she started noticing changes in Amanda. And she actually found at one point heroin on her. But, you know, I'll explain the drug thing in relation to this. But anyhow, this fella, Adam Patterson, was 35 at the time. And he actually convinced her to move into an apartment with him. And, you know, and during that time, you know, they were meeting people, and the heroin addiction increased. And, you know, she always noticed him have money all the time, but she didn't know quite what he did. And, you know, he started saying to her things like, well, you know, you need money for your college or for a car. How about you turn a trick for a night? Okay. And by the time he actually was doing this with her, she was so mellow to the heroin that was being forced upon her. And so she was in some kind of altered state of mind. And, you know, slowly he would say to her, well, you know, let's do a trick here. You can make $500 a night. And, you know, what was happening is they would make the money, but then a couple things happened. They also had to support the heroin because it became an addiction. And Adam was also addicted to heroin. But then, you know, they started performing these tricks regularly out and here and there. And this was going on for about 8 months. And the mom had noticed a change in the daughter. The daughter had actually moved out in an apartment. And by the way, the mom has told me that her daughter was actually going to parties with this fella, Adam Patterson. And, you know, and I would say to the mom, well, she was actually meeting other people involved in the trafficking up there. And one day, what happened was is she was actually pimped out, I would say, to the wrong person. It was somebody who was connected to the Democratic Party up there. And when she went in the house, and bear in mind, she willingly did this because that's what heroin does. It kind of makes a person's mind numb to making rational decisions. And so when she got there, we have figured out that she picked up on something that wasn't supposed to be. And when she went in this house, she was hit from behind. And her body lay down there. And then there were four people involved in this sex scene. Two were male and two were female. And the one was actually associated to the chief of the Democratic Party up there. And they, when they hit her, they also gave her the date rape drug. And then she expired. But they also proceeded to do the sexual act. And then by the time they noticed she was gone or dead, what they did was they took the body and they hid it for 5 weeks. And during the 5 weeks that the body was missing, her tongue, the people who had taken the body had actually cut the tongue out. And the police were on the case and this and that. And but the mother told me that the minute she noticed her daughter was missing, the police had botched up the investigation right there. And so they eventually found the body. Well, I shouldn't say found it. It was actually turned up in a garbage tote outside of Buffalo. And then began the autopsy. The autopsy ruled it was death by drug overdose. However, the family had a second autopsy done, and it ruled that it was death by strangulation or murder. But they couldn't get justice in this case because there was obstruction of justice because of who was involved. And a lot of times government organizations or whatever, when they do their philanthropy groups, they find a way to money launder. And one of the things that they will do is use the sex trade or the drug trade to do so. Because that year, the same year this happened, this same Democratic Party had helped elect the mayor of Buffalo, who appoints the police chief. So you kind of go figure the connection there. So that's when the mom had actually called me, because the same people in power also have a tendency to control the media. And everybody knows that Ruben and I are not the regular media. So they come to us. But I want to explain, get into the cyber sex trafficking and the regular human trafficking. The cyber sex trafficking is actually human trafficking only with use of the internet and the computer and the cell phone and whatnot. And human trafficking itself is a form of modern day slavery, and it exists throughout the United States, and it's even globally. And the traffickers, what they'll do is they'll use violence, threats, lies, bondage, and other forms of coercion to compel adults and children or anybody who doesn't want to be trafficked against their will. And I want to point out that under U.S. law, any minor under the age of 18 years who is induced to commercial sex is a victim of sex trafficking, regardless of whether the trafficker uses force, fraud, or coercion, or any of any of those above, because that's under the Human Trafficking Law of 2001. And the situations that sex trafficking victims face, they vary dramatically. Many victims become romantically involved with someone who then forces them or manipulates them into prostitution, like the Winkowski case. She was actually involved with Adam Patterson. And others are lured in with a false promise of a job or even modeling or dancing or whatever. And some are forced to sell sex by their parents or family members. And they may be involved in a trafficking situation for a few days, weeks, or may remain in it for a few years. But in tonight's discussion, we're actually going to elaborate on the cyber sex, which involves the computer. And I know Ruben, you know, this is Ruben's thing because he loves to talk about the Tor browser and all of that. You know, and I want to stress folks that the cyber sex makes use of the it's sex trafficking that makes use of your computer or your cell phone, anything that can take a visual image, be it a still or a video recording of a person who doesn't want to be recorded. And the danger of this is it goes up on the internet in something that we call the dark net or the other internet, or you know, and then it goes out to hundreds of thousands of users in an instant. And this is where this thing sex trafficking has gotten so bad, and this is where we really need to put a stop to it. And I want to have Ruben just elaborate for a minute on, I mentioned the dark net, okay? The dark net makes use of the Tor browser and an encryption service and also an onion router, and it's not that hard for anybody to figure out how to get on or how to use. In fact, I believe you can download the Tor browser, right, Ruben?
Yes, you can. It's basically pretty easy. There may be some configuration settings because there's different types of configurations for the Tor browser. One that makes it a lot more complicated for them to actually see where the data is coming from, where the message is being sent. So basically what happens is the Tor browser was created in the mid-1990s by the United States Naval Research Laboratory. They basically developed this to protect U.S. intelligence communication online. Unfortunately, what has happened is that the Tor browser has become, you know, good and bad, good to the intelligence community, but also very bad and helpful to the underworld, the human trafficking organization on the global scale. But also it's been beneficial to incidents like when they had the Arab Spring a couple of years ago in the Middle East, you know, in the Iranian situation, the Iranian crisis, where a lot of dissidents were basically sending a lot of their messages that were appearing on CNN and a lot of the mainstream media here what they were using was the Tor browser. So the Tor browser is an anonymous form of communication. It gives individuals, you know, whistleblowers, a tool to be able to communicate that information without being really discovered. So it has its pros and cons. It all depends on who's using it and how they're using it. So the way the Tor browser works is it has seven layers. It has seven layers, and each layer, every time you click on send, and you're using the Tor browser, it goes through different layers. Each layer encrypts the information at a, from a lower level to a higher level. So when it gets to the seventh layer, the person on the other end, it will be able to decrypt it with either a code or just, you know, you because that's how encrypting and decrypting works. I send you a message, I give you a code, then you'll be the only one to be able to open it. So the human trafficking organizations, like in different parts of the world, have been using the Tor browser. The Bitcoin, digital currency, you know, exchanging goods in the underworld, they've been using the Tor browser. And it definitely, you know, if you want to do online banking, I use the Tor browser because it really, really does the job. So let me getting back to the functionality of the Tor browser. So each relay decrypts a part of the message to reveal it to the next relay. And then it passes through different relays. And then and at the end, it basically provides information as long as you have the code. Now, what it also does, if you do anything on the internet, law enforcement or anyone that is capable of finding out, they can find out where your IP address is of your computer. The IP address is like the zip code. Once they get identified your IP address, they can go to the internet provider and find out who has that IP address. And that has happened in a lot of cases here in the U.S. One of the most significant cases was in San Luis, Missouri. There was a serial rapist, and he had killed, I think, about 10 to 11 prostitutes in the inner city of San Luis, Missouri. And the way they were able to capture him was that he made one huge mistake. He went to Microsoft website and printed a map of the city. And he took that map and he pointed where all the prostitutes were buried. Well, then he made the second mistake. He sent that map to one of the major newspapers in the city. Well, they turned around and gave it to the police, to the law enforcement. Law enforcement went ahead and said, oh, Microsoft, it was Hotmail. So basically they went and got I think it was AT&T or at that time, the internet provider, and they were able to provide the IP address, and they were able to identify, okay, this IP address belongs to this person. The person got arrested right away. So when you use the Tor browser, if he was using the Tor browser, they would not be able to identify where the IP address is or whose IP address is. So it's really, really a very, very valuable tool. But nowadays, the U.S. government is being very proactive, and they're going after the Tor browser. They're coming up with tools to be able to try. They haven't done it yet, according to my research, but they're working on trying to break that anonymous communication that the Tor browser offers. And by the way, the Tor browser is a free software.
Yeah, and while we're on this note, and I know I mentioned this to Luther, I want to also bring up the Tim DeFoggy case. Luther, are you there?
Can you hear me? I'm here.
Okay. Okay. Tim DeFoggy was the chief of the cybersecurity of the health and services in Maryland. Okay. And this happened about 2 years ago. He had actually set his connection up and with one other fella, I believe, but when they were on the dark net, they developed a site called PedoBook. And what they would do is they would actually place an undercover camera, or I believe it was a dish or something that looked like a camera, inside of a bathroom where people went to the bathroom, and they caught the kids too. It was a single bathroom somewhere in a classroom. They did this, and so what happened was when the kids went to the bathroom, they were filmed, and they were immediately placed up on the site called PedoBook that was in the dark net. And, you know, it wasn't a lot of times their whole body was just their parts. And so in an instant, their pictures went out to over 100,000 users. And the FBI, they finally caught this guy. They actually spread a virus in the Tor browser. And they had to go and catch him that way. But a lot of times what happens in these cases is the FBI will go in and close these sites out, and then new ones pop up.
Well, can you explain the dangers of those cyber sex?
Say again, Luther?
I said, can you explain the dangers of cyber sex?
Yes. The dangers are this. See, in the age of the internet, you know, all of that stuff, and the porn industry, which we'll get to in a minute, you know, I mean, it creates an atmosphere of being anonymous. And so, you know, I mean, that's maybe good for some parts of the internet, but not this, because a person's image, if they don't want to be photographed, especially doing a various thing, and a lot of times these photographs stay up on the internet forever for a very long time, you know, they don't want to be photographed in a certain way. And the danger is that it gets spread so fast to people around the world. And not only do other people see it, you know, like Ruben said, they can trade the pictures for Bitcoin, and they can also download them, okay, you know, and also, so the FBI may go in and shut the site down, but they don't always get everything. That's it, because they don't know if you download or copied it somewhere.
Well, who might be involved in that?
Well,
go ahead, Ruben.
May I? Well, mm-hmm. You know, you have a lot of you know, the cartels in different parts of the world are actually involved. I'll give you an example. In South America, there's a section in South America that borders on three countries: Brazil, Paraguay, and Uruguay. And that is the most heavily human trafficking area in the world. And basically, a lot of the drug cartels, a lot of the gun run cartels, a lot of governments, you know, especially in the Middle East, that basically are you know, pushing people from different parts of the world, like the migration to Europe from the Middle East. It's human trafficking. It's happening there. So there's a lot of influential people in the world, and also very very bad organizations that are involved in.
Luther, hold on. I want to add something. If you go on the dark net with that, it's very dangerous because it's linked to high-level officials, this type of thing. So go ahead. Did you want to ask another question? Or?
Why is it so difficult to stop, Ruben?
It's difficult
because
to stop.
Go ahead, Ruben.
Yeah, it's difficult to stop because governments are basically not working together. There's not a full commitment on a global stage like there has been to a certain degree with the drug war. You know, with the drug war, cooperation has not been there, and until that happens, it's going to be very difficult. We've had reports of very, very highly influential United Nations members involved in human trafficking. So there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money to be made. In China, they basically transfer. They move a lot of people to the United States with the condition that if they make it to the United States, they have to pay back their, you know, their human trafficking the human trafficking organizations. So it's definitely very difficult until we have a global cooperation agreement. That's my perspective on it.
Yeah, and I've always
said.
Smaller
government too, and how
yeah. Go ahead, Luther.
I said by having a smaller government would help too.
I've always said that because if you have a smaller government, you have a less chance of them getting involved in this stuff. But I do want to mention some statistics here and what some key people have said and also the connection to the pornography industry. I got this from Polaris, and it says the world stats is that there's 45.8 million victims involved in human trafficking in the world, and one in three victims are of slavery as a child. And the average cost of a slave is $90 to sell.
Wow.
And yes, and according to the State Department, the U.S. State Department, about 600,000 to 800,000 are trafficked across international borders. 80% are female and half are children. And they also said that a teen enters the sex trade between age 12 and 14. And get this next statistic, because this is the one that directly affects the porn industry. California harbors three of the FBI's highest child sex trafficking areas in the nation: Los Angeles, San Francisco, and San Diego, and that's where the porn industry is located out of. And when we get onto the topic about the porn, we'll bring that up. But the National Trafficking Hotline receives more calls from Texas than any other state, and human trafficking is the third largest international crime industry behind drugs, arms trafficking, and it generates $32 billion a year, of which $15.5 billion is made from industrialized nations. So there we have it.
So
right.
Out of the candidates,
so it's like we
candidates,
all just pass out on the ground. Go ahead, Luther.
Well, what's their stand on this?
Well,
okay, go ahead, Ruben.
Okay, I have not heard any of the two candidates mention human trafficking at all. I think as a country and as a world, there has to be steps taken to really curb the number or reduce what human trafficking is all about today. There's something that's been happening in the southern border of the United States. A lot of the drug cartels, what they're doing is they're hiring, they're contracting truck drivers that cross the Texas-Mexican border to deliver goods. Since, you know, we have NAFTA, that little agreement that Bill Clinton and Hillary, her husband signed. Yeah, that really ruined the job production in the United States. Well, what happens is the drug cartels will contract a trucker, pay them $10,000 to traffic women and children, and they would tell them, because I have some family that works in the as a Border Patrol officer, and he was mentioning to me that this is an ongoing, they have basically stopped and arrested about 10 truckers, American truckers. They'll give them, they'll pay them $10,000, and they'll tell them, hey, you can do whatever you want with the women. And then once that happens, then they'll drop them off anywhere in the U.S. But the Border Patrol in Laredo, Texas, has taken steps to identify, and they have arrested in the last couple, last 2 months, 10 American truckers doing that.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many children are involved in trafficking? How many are they trafficking in this situation? The children.
I'm sorry, Luther?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
About how many children are they
involved in this in the United States? And according to Polaris, it's 200,000 plus that are at risk. Yeah. So,
how bad is
between
it
that, it's bad. It's in every city. It's even in some local areas, like we've had trafficking here in Parsippany. It's so bad only because of the relative ease on how to do it these days. And people need to make money, so they do this stuff. And a lot of times the victims are lured through websites like Backpage.com. That's one. Craigslist is another one. Or the human trafficker might be a person lurking on the internet, like in Facebook, and they might
right.
lure your child that way.
Right. Well, it's good that you brought that up, Doreen, because what's happening in a lot of cases that have been happening in the U.S., we have young teenagers and young people that would post on Facebook that they're having problems at home, especially young ladies, young women, and they will express their views and say how miserable they are. So what these traffickers are doing now is they're basically bringing in another female to basically become friendly with that young lady that's having problems, emotional problems, is living in a dysfunctional family, and offers them the same thing that gangs offer young people, that they're going to take care of them, they're going to love them. And then they drag them, you know, the female entices the other female that's having those issues, brings her out, and then she becomes trapped by the pimp, by these organizations, these escorts that they are basically trafficking these young women for prostitution.
Yes. Anyhow, Luther, did you want to ask another question, or can we move on to
yeah.
the direct
yeah.
connection between that and the porn?
What is the difference between cyber sex and regular human trafficking? What's the difference between it?
Okay, I'll bring that up. We talked about it a little bit before. Cyber sex involves to a degree human trafficking, but it involves the use of, you know, your computer or your technology. And what cyber sex can do is those people can take a picture of a part of their area. Or, for example, Timothy DeFoggy, and what they did is they took pictures of parts of the children's area, not the whole body, and they uploaded it to the internet. That's where human trafficking turns into cyber sex, because once it's uploaded onto the internet like that, with file sharing and Facebook and Twitter, well, they don't allow that, but, you know, the dark net, that can be shared all the way around the world. But if it's a regular human trafficking that doesn't use a computer, what the traffickers might do is place an ad in Craigslist, and they will lure their bait and maybe go to a hotel and do an act over there. The regular human trafficking doesn't involve the use of the computer. So
what you're saying is the pimps. What you're saying is the pimps are making good use of cyber sex trafficking.
Say again.
I said what you're saying is how do the pimps make good use of cyber trafficking?
How do the parents?
How do the pimps to make good use of cyber sex trafficking?
Oh, that I actually have a term for that. I call them cyber pimp. Because they may actually, human trafficking encompasses cyber sex. It can also be without cyber sex, or it can also be with the cyber, or the cyber can be alone. And so, but in either case, once there's the use of the computer that's involved and the transmission of pictures on the computer throughout the world, then it turns into cyber sex. And I actually, my term for them is called the cyber pimp. And what we also need to mention is that when you're in the dark net and you build a site there, a lot of these human trafficking organizations can actually link up with other human traffickers around the world, almost like cells, and that's really dangerous. You know, because then they brainstorm on how to lure their victim, and you know, and it's as simple as 1, 2, 3. Your family could be over here in Funplex on Route 10, okay, where a lot of children go in that place. And I see this all the time. The parents sit there and they have a food place in there, and they let their kid run wild. And, and that's breeding ground for these types of people to go in and lure a child like that. But anyhow, let's move on to...
I want to cover what you've been doing and the great job you've been doing with your organization and how you're trying to get the message to the politicians in New Jersey and to the different school boards, because it's remarkable that you have been the only one out there really spreading that message. Can you just briefly give us an update of where you are in regards to the human trafficking curriculum that you wanted to really push?
Yes. What we're doing is we actually have a couple of speeches coming up to a number of school boards, and hopefully we're going to make a speech for the state school board. Because what a lot of them don't understand is the use of the computer in this and the dark net. And
yes.
And also its connection to the bad stuff that's out there.
Yes.
So what we're doing now is putting together a curriculum for parents and teachers first. And we're starting with the Parsippany school system. And we're going to be going in doing workshops for both the teachers and the parents first on what to look for. And
right.
Then from there, we're actually going to go in and also educate the K-12 system and adjust the curriculum per the grade level. And also we have the fellas from Your Brain on Porn, if I got to think of it right, who actually do a whole expose on how this ties into the cyber sex trafficking. And I know I'm sort of picking on the pornography, but in relation to this, I did some research and I got a response from this group called Morality in the Media, and who couldn't be with us tonight, but hopefully they'll be with us a different night. They've been working on this project since the 1960s, and they're the ones that sent us a statement that said that San Bernardino County is one of the biggest transit points for human trafficking in the U.S. That said one of their expert, Marissa Ugarte. And she is director of the Bilateral Safety Corridor Coalition in San Diego. And in that same county out there is also where the porn industry is. And, you know, and I've talked to some people in the porn industry. They do say sometimes they let the child porn go through on the website. So, and I know, Ruben, you have, you have dealt with this too. So
yes.
If you can elaborate on this.
Well, you've covered quite a bit. I think that we have a lot of work to do. You have done a fantastic job on getting that message. But I think one of the things that when we had that presentation that you invited me to present to the parents, I think a lot of the parents were basically totally clueless to that what was going on, you know, especially with Tor browser. There has to be a lot more parental control, physically parental control, because a lot of these things are happening behind parents' back. I'm a parent, and I know that when we had our son, and he had a computer, the computer was not in, the computer was in the open. So I can see what was going on. And I think that those are things that parents need to do that. But there's a lot more that can go into improving and managing and combating this whole cyber trafficking, cyber sex, human trafficking. But it has to be proactive, like you're doing. And like the mayor of Parsippany and the board, every community step up.
Yes, and also in regards to the connection between the trafficking and the porn industry, Morality in the Media has stated that porn drives up the demand for sex trafficking, and.
Yes.
You know, just by simple people watching it. And they sent us a couple other things here. It said, one of the most significant and persistent barriers to combating human trafficking is widespread insistence on distinguishing between sexual trafficking and prostitution. While linking the two is about as easy as connecting smoking to lung cancer, we can continue to decouple trafficking from branches of commercial sex industry like prostitution and pornography. And so they go on to say that and here's another thing they said, that pornography is actual advertising for prostitution. And it says that they teach men how to use women by looking at and having fun to pornography, often developing a taste for prostitution. And the women have explained that they study pornography in order to perform prostitution. And so, and I've noticed that, and I've even talked to the girls on college campuses. They often say to me that they want to emulate those women in the porn industry to look like that.
And right.
So this is how the cycle goes around. So, you know, you have to, and then with the stats showing that California has the highest rate of children being trafficked, and particularly where the porn industry is prevalent. So, you know, we just want to bring those stats up. But go ahead.
I do have some questions for you, Doreen. Would you say, this is for our audience that may just be coming in and is trying to analyze what human trafficking is. Is human trafficking the same thing as slavery?
Depends on what kind of slavery. Okay, because there's sexual slavery, and there's just general human trafficking, in which those people are actually trafficked somewhere to perform hard labor.
Right.
And
okay.
You know, and we have that going on as well. So there is a little bit of a distinction there.
There is a distinction.
Yeah. So the question is
how similar are victims treated? Like victims of human trafficking and victims of slavery, of modern day slavery, are they treated the same way?
Again, it depends on, okay, if you're talking about hard labor, those people
right.
are trafficked into a country to just work to death. They might
okay.
work in a cornfield or
right.
on a farm somewhere. And they might work day in and day out, but as they're working, they might get whipped or hit, and they don't make any pay.
Right.
Whereas one that's trafficked into the sexual slavery will have to perform sexual acts day in and day out, and the pimp will get paid, be it whether it's the cyber pimp or the or a pimp that doesn't use the computer.
Okay.
So, yes. But getting back to the porn industry actually plays a major role. I don't want to say, bad. In some ways, it's bad. And when you get into the topic of the pornography, then we get into the fact and whether it's constitutional or not. And in the United States, it is constitutional, providing that it meets the Miller analogy test, which a lot of people don't know that.
Right.
And do you know what the Miller analogy test is?
No, go ahead.
Does anybody know?
No, go ahead.
That's a 3-point test to determine whether a picture is obscene or not.
Okay.
Hold on, I had it with me, but I'll get it in a minute. But anyhow, and a lot of people think that porn is actually free speech.
Right.
So, okay. Here it is. Okay, Miller test is a 3-point obscenity test in the United States Supreme Court, test for determining whether speech or expression can be labeled obscene, in which case it is not protected by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, and can be prohibited. And it was actually developed in 1973, case Miller versus California. And that's where it came into being. It says whether the average person applying contemporary community standards would find that the work that is taken as a whole appears to the purient interest. That's number one. Whether the work depicts or describes in a patently offensive way sexual conduct or excretory functions specifically defined as applicable state to law. Whether the work taken as a whole lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. So if it met any one of the, if the work, the work is considered obscene if it, all three of those conditions were satisfied. And
right.
A lot of people don't know that. So, and because they don't know that, that is why we have everything we do out on the internet.
Right, right.
So the Supreme Court was very specific in that. They said, okay, it can be deemed as free speech, but you must apply the Miller analogy test to it. And people do not know this latter half of the law. Otherwise,
right.
It would be, it would be challenged. But anyhow, along this note, Florida has a bill. It's called SB 144, if I remember the name
right.
of it. And it's been brought to the floor, and it says that a person who is on a pornography site must have a two-step verification process to prove that they're 17 and older.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it's being challenged, you know, and something like that will always be challenged, probably. Will it stop kids from, you know, accessing it? Probably yes, but who's complaining about it now? You know,
well,
because...
You can have all the tools out there, and but you still need to have the parents step up to the plate and take care of business, because I don't care how advanced a tool is, if you don't have physical intervention and have the parents take the responsibilities very seriously, it's going to fail, and the kid will fail, and the kid will end up, the child will end up being controlled by one of these human trafficking goons.
Yeah. And so whether this bill ever gets any legs, I mean, I don't know. I can tell you a lot of parents are interested in it, because the problem
right.
with the child is this, is that if you stop it in your house, somebody else may have it.
Right.
You know, so you can't, you're not going to be able to totally stop it. So that's why this bill is there. You know, however, from a constitutional side here, you do have to be careful, because if they shut down something on the internet, then who knows what they can't shut down.
Right.
You know, so
right. I mean,
that's
look,
a flip
look,
side
look,
of
look,
it.
Look what's happening with Obama, basically giving the internet rights to a private organization that works with the United Nations, that works with NATO, basically giving them control over our internet.
Yes. So that's the flip side to this. So as a parent, I mean, you know, I would maybe go for that two-step thing, but I don't know how far I would push it. I don't think I would push it any further than that. And
right.
I know pornography is it's pretty much a cancer to the rest of society, but you can't totally take it away, because, you know, some people do use it as a good thing. You know, they actually use
right.
it to teach themselves.
Maureen, how difficult is
however,
it?
However, Go ahead.
How difficult is it to work with a school system that's run by the liberals to stop these problems?
Say again, Luther.
How difficult is it to stop these problems with a liberal-run school system when you talk to the school districts about these problems?
Well, our biggest opposition to this, in particular our group, and I'm going to be honest with everybody, has been the liberal male. Because the women have been able to work with us. A lot of the conservative men, you know, are fine with it. And I'll tell you, pornography is everywhere, you know. And I have two boys in my house, my husband, okay. I'm not going to deny it that it hasn't been brought up here either. But they know that there's consequences with it. But the liberal men have challenged me everywhere, even on Facebook. You know, they have just took me to task on this. And because they actually believe that regardless, you know, it's their right. That's how they see it. To me, you have a right, but you also have to with every great right comes a great responsibility. Even with the Second Amendment, I tell everybody that. You know, you have the right to bear arms, but it comes with a great responsibility. Do you use your gun? No, only if you have to, okay? It's the same thing with the First Amendment. We have a great responsibility. When you have a right like that, you have to know the consequences, you know, and learn how to deal with it. And the pornography to the human trafficking industry has been a cancer, and I'm sure, you know, my conservative friends, they have been telling me that's been a cancer to their relationship as well. You know, and so and plus the thing with that is the reason why you have to watch your children with it is because the addiction rate has gone up. And yes, when the addiction rate goes up, like here in Parsippany, Mayor Barbario wanted to add it to the substance abuse thing. And when they do that, your taxes go up.
Right.
it's that type of thing now. You know, it's funny though. Years ago, we had pornography even in the 70s, and you know, you went to a movie theater to watch it, but you had to be 17 and older. And that's what this bill wants to do. I think they want to put it back to make it to be where it's 17 and older. We had magazines and all that and whatnot. But today, you know, it has gone the other way where you can access it 24/7. It's available anywhere. So it's just that issue now, and because it increases the demand, it increases the demand for human trafficking. So
I have a question. I have a question for you, Doreen, for the audience. How do you identify a trafficking victim?
Oh, okay. Well, I knew that one was going to come.
Even though I just got off the plane, I had my questions for you.
you were thinking about this. There's a couple of things you can do. Number one, okay, I'll give you some of the physical things, okay? A lot of times they're malnourished.
Okay, that's a good one.
And you see signs of abuse,
yes.
Bruises or burns, okay? They act kind of different. In other words, they might seem paranoid. They won't make eye contact with you. They'll seem timid. That's another one. They could be in a group with one leader, one pimp as the boss there. If you ask them a question, it's usually answered by somebody else. There was one gal who was a flight attendant, and she actually sent some to me on Facebook. But this other thing brings it up. It says they lack travel documents or doesn't know where they are or they don't have a sense of time. That's another one. The flight attendant said to me one time that she had noticed a baby who must have just been born, okay? And it was a male baby, and actually it had the umbilical cord attached to it and was traveling with an 18-year-old boy on her plane. And she didn't know the signs back then. And here's another one, has very few personal possessions, and the clothes don't fit right.
Right.
Has a tattoo of a barcode or the word daddy or a man's name on. And quite simply, they're under 18 or they look under 18 and they're engaging in prostitution or some kind of sexual act. Another thing is you can be in a place where trafficking happens the most.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that we can look out for.
Fantastic.
And we as humans are, responsible humans are on the first line of defense for these types of things. And I don't know if this is true. It might have been you that mentioned this to me, Ruben, but Madeline McCann, was she trafficked?
Yes, Madeline McCann.
Okay.
Just to refresh everyone's memory, she was a young British girl that was with her parents in an island in Portugal. I think it was about at least 10 to 15 years ago. And while the parents went out to dinner, she was taken from her room, and they have never seen her before. But there has been some reports that she was in the Middle East. That possibility that she was being trafficked by a Middle Eastern cartel, but. She was, they're saying that she definitely was a victim of human trafficking.
And they never found her, right?
They have never found her at all. I mean, I think the parents, they put up, they invested in private investigators, and they have not been able to find her.
And one other thing I want to mention before we cut out, and actually I'd allow for extra time tonight because this is a hot and heavy topic, about boys. Okay. Now, I'm going to give you examples, but the number of boys being trafficked is also high. And from going in the darknet, by the way, we have noticed some groups in there that promote man-boy groups that promote pedophilism and the man's relationship with the young boy. And that has been on the rise. And let me give you an example of how a boy is trafficked. What will happen is the ring might use a sexy female, because where there's money to be made, even the females join in and become the female pimps. And, you know, she might be all decked out, you know, voluptuous, whatever. And, you know, like the other way around, she will lure your particularly 16 and 17-year-old son. That's when they're gullible. You know, they see this nice woman and flirtatious woman and, you know, and they think she's nice. And they will start to date her, and she will give him everything. And like the Winkowski case, the same thing has happened in reverse. So the boys have not been exempt from this, which is also troublesome for this. And when I mention that, even the rate of the men having sex with the boys as well. So we're talking about a whole different, not a whole different, but a whole arena here that is kind of, to us it's been monstrous, but we're able to do some headway over here. And, you know, we don't want to see, you know, this type of thing continue to go on. But like Ruben said, it's going to take cooperation amongst many. So,
it's going to be a very, very uphill battle. Not just on a local, state, or even a national level. It has to be a global effort in order to combat. I mean, we've been fighting the drug war for so many years, and we're still having a huge issue. I think human trafficking is even going to be a lot more challenging than even the drug war.
Yes. The drug war failed.
Exactly.
Because, you know, and this slogan they had, just say no to drugs. You know what? Whenever you say no to anybody, it sort of makes them want to do it.
Yes. Yeah. It's true.
So, and I have a comment. I want to get in on that. If you guys remember MENA, the airport in Arkansas there.
Yes.
Back in the 80s, that's when Governor Bill Clinton, you know, I have to say this, the drugs came through under his watch. And, you know, I wanted to bring up the train death of those two boys who happened to be in the wrong place at the same time. They were going out hunting. And, you know, and there was one drug drop that was missing, by the way. You know, and authorities were on the lookout for a while. And apparently those boys must have found it first or whatever. But they were obviously in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, you know, their bodies showed up dead on the train tracks. So, you know, I mean, this is kind of where this war leads to, you know. And that's one of the famous cases over there. But, you know, and there was also a saying, if I remember, don't say no, fly low.
Because the
MENA airport was, and I said this to Leslie in Buffalo, I says, don't say no, come to Buffalo. That's where Amanda Winkowski's case was over there. So, you know, so that approach kind of failed us. What I have found that has worked for us over here and our family and the people I talk to in Parsippany is if you just have simple conversations with people about it, you know, and point out that has been effective, at least for us so far. You know, I mean, we haven't had any other cases, you know, other than us having to, you know, of course, we're raising the awareness over here. And we tell them, you know, if you say no to your child about doing this, that, and the other thing, they're going to want to do it some more. So you have to use a psychological approach a little bit. But yes, Ruben, you're right. It's going to take it's going to take people around the world to fix this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if, again, yeah, the hidden truth is that there's so much money and so much very, very powerful people that control this business. And it's an uphill battle.
But it's one that is a must.
Oh, it
and
is.
Luther, are you still there? Or are we entertaining you? We're just going on with our knowledge.
I'm still here. I'm still here.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I will say about this... The only thing I will say about this, it's got to start with the families. They got to start teaching their kids at home. And to tell a kid no is not the way to go about it. You have to explain to the kid before you tell them no. You have to educate the kid.
Yeah, because they're actually just so curious, you know. Everybody's curious, you know.
Right.
So yeah, it's going to start in the home, and you know, and we have to also, you know, think about the American family structure too, which is kind of splitting apart. I say because of a lot of issues, because of finances, and yes, lately pornography. I will come out and say it. Pornography has destroyed a number of marriages, so the families themselves have a lot to cope with. And if you sign up for one of Doreen's workshops, you'll learn how to do that. So
can you provide us with the website?
Yes, I will. You know, we have a whole support network developing on this. So, you know, you're not alone in this. And you can always listen to our radio show. It's like therapy every Tuesday night. And Luther's going to get his own show. So now we'll have another night where you have therapy. Right, Luther?
Right.
you know, so it's a slow process, but it's one that needs to be done. So, Luther, did you want to say anything?
Well, this is what people need to be listening to is us. The truth comes from here. Your kids ain't going to learn
nothing
from liberal TV. Your kids are not going to learn nothing from liberal TV. All they're going to learn is some bad habits.
Yes. That's right. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't – we actually cut out a lot of our programming on the TV. So, you know, we don't watch MSN, CNN, or that. If we're going to watch the news, we'll watch Fox first, but sometimes we have questions about them too, so.
They're being controlled.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you have to be controlled.
People say to me all the time, why don't you watch TV? Well, TV, why would you watch TV? All it is lies.
Yeah.
Like, they want to wonder why I don't ever turn the TV on to watch. Listen.
Yeah. So, plus, since we're on this subject, Common Core, okay? You know, we have to watch the media, and we got to watch the education system too. You got to watch, and I say Common Core could be Communist Core to me.
Yeah.
You know, because they can't. Yeah, they can't. See, they feed certain information to your child in there. And you know what? I'm going to have Judy Rostello. She's she's a proponent against Common Core here in New Jersey, and she has also come out and said that they actually promote pornography in there. So I should we're going to have her on the radio.
Okay.
So, okay. But Luther, did you want to ask anything else?
Oh, I think we did a pretty good job covering everything tonight.
Yeah, I think we did.
Yes, we did. Uh-huh. And Luther, you are going to be a host, and I'm going to congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
When are you going to be doing your shows? What date?
That is still in the thought process.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have a lot of airtime, and if anybody else is interested in being a host, you can send me an email, studentsforabetterfuture@outlook.com. That's studentsforabetterfuture@outlook.com. You know, and you'll have a lot of fun doing this. You know, and you can really get your word out. So we're going to wrap it up. And for next week, Ruben, we have women of class and distinction. I'm going to be introducing some women who go the extra mile. And one gal, her name is Claire Jameson. She actually purchased a 2,000-acre park in New York, in upper state New York. And she's going to come on and tell us what she made the park into. And
fantastic.
And also we have Ann Wolf, who runs a group for the veterans. And she raises money for them. And she's actually a singer and songwriter.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it.
Yes. So, folks, we had a great show tonight. And we're going to wish Luther a lot of luck. And until next week, folks, everybody have a good night.
Have a good one.
All right.
Yeah.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Old Navy's saying thank you with big fall savings. Get 30% off your purchase right now. And if you use your Old Navy card, you'll get 40% off your purchase. Run to Old Navy today. Valid 10/12 to 10/16. 40% offer subject to credit approval. See store for details and exclusions.